Check, check.
Good morning. All right, so we have quite a few announcements this morning. I always go before the radio anyways, so we're just going to start. So for some announcements, for those of you who haven't heard, Mike Strickler did pass away this past week. So if you can please keep Cheryl and the rest of the Strickler family in your prayers while they go through grieving. There is an informational meeting this afternoon at Heritage United Methodist Church in Snover regarding whether you stay with the Methodist Church, like everything going on with the church. And they have three different speakers with different perspectives. So if you're interested in that informational meeting, that's at 2 p.m. in Snover. And then, what else we got here? Miss Jenny, some good news. Miss Jenny will be arriving at Stonegate this coming Wednesday. She'd hold a bunch of teachers. She'd be at school in August, so she's getting a little bit closer. So she's at least coming back closer to all of us. So if you can just keep her in your prayers. Thank you. Thank you. Keep her in your prayers as they go through the different treatments and just helping her be comfortable with everything. Oh, we have another great-grandchild born for Nort and Linda Schramm. Is his last name Stark? Yes. Charlotte Rin Stark. Congratulations to the new great-grandparents. And then some more good news. The Gordon family are coming home today. Claire's surgery, she had two of them, and they actually went fairly well. She ended up having some blood clots develop in her lungs after the surgery. She was in the hospital a little bit longer than expected, but on the plus side of that, she was able to get some post-op appointments out of the way and get some more assistance from those doctors before coming home. They are coming home for this week, and then they will be going back to Mayo Clinic to start radiation, so it'll be wonderful for them to be home, a little bit more comfortable for the time being. And we don't have an update on how much money our love offering has raised, but we also plan on giving that to them while they're home this week. So that is also very good news. Moving on to birthdays and anniversaries. For birthdays this week that I have written down are Linda Hughes on the 12th, John Patterson on the 14th, and June Potter on the 16th. Do we have any other birthdays that are not noted? All right, let's sing happy birthday to them. Have any anniversaries written down, but do we have any that are not noted in the newsletter? Nope. All right. And then going back to that meeting at Heritage United Methodist Church, the three speakers from what we were able to gather talking to members of that church, there will be a speaker from someone who has joined the global church, someone that has not done anything, they're staying status quo, and then the other point of view being someone who's gone independent. So again, three different perspectives on, just because everyone's, at least us and Heritage, are very much in the same boat when it comes to deciding what's best for our congregation and the future. So, 2 o'clock in Snover. So after the birthday potluck, you should have plenty of time to eat and get out to Snover. We have 2 minutes. We want to start with our praise song. All right. We'll start with our praise song, number 2108, Oh How He Loves You and Me. Please stand as you are able. have a seat. As our children come up. You guys. Sit. So for those of you who don't know, it is our children's program today. So you have that to look forward to in a few minutes. Kids have been working hard. I'm just waiting for the cue. We got 30 seconds. So. For those of you who were at game night last night, how was it? What was the best part? Kickball. Who won? Only Corbin won kickball. Oh my gosh, that's a big score. That's a lot. Oh yes. Welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning message. I'm Angela Lasecki, worship leader for this morning. Our acolyte this morning was one of our lovely ushers. If you can all please stand for the call to worship. The congregational responses are in bold. Come into God's presence.
All are welcome here.
Come, saints and sinners alike.
We are all God's children.
Faith has brought us here.
Grace will make us whole.
Come, let us worship.
Faithful and loving God, your grace makes our faith possible. May we live and go about our lives as people who place our trust in you. May we love and care for others as people who turn to you for help. Where there is doubt or distrust, renew our faith. Where there is fear or insecurity, grant us courage. Where there is fatigue and weariness, give us amazing strength. Where there is confusion of purpose, give us wisdom. Where there is sorrow and loss, bring us peace. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.
Our opening hymn is number 337, Only Trust Him.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We'll now have our children's program. So now you guys can. We're going to kick off with noisy offering. So get out all of your change.
Join us in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And this is how we usually do our opening, so we're giving you an insight to that. So we do our offering, and then we do, Jesus, we just want to thank you, and then we go into the Pledge of Allegiance and the Christian flag. So Carter and Olivia, if you want to stand here with those. There you go, Mel and Carly. All right, first we're going to do the pledge to the American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And then Carly and Mel are going to help us out with the Christian pledge to the Christian flag in case you aren't familiar with that. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one brother. Then we have our special birthday cake that we celebrate our monthly birthdays with the kids. This has been a tradition since I think my mom was a kid, if not before that. You guys can have a seat. But this Sunday we're going to introduce all of our kids and let them put their birthday money in. So it usually gets pretty heavy because they use their pennies to count. And us teachers do it too, so it gets really heavy. But today to save some time, we're going to do some smaller coins here. So we're going to start out with
Olivia.
Here you go, Sweet Pea. And if you guys can count with us as she puts them in, then we'll sing happy birthday at the very end. One,
two.
No, that was a nickel. So six.
Six.
Seven.
Eight.
Nine. Next, we have Miss Bristol. What do we got? Show me what we got first. Penny. One.
Two.
Nickel. So we got seven. We're doing our math this morning.
Yeah.
Eight.
Nine.
You can hold on to your cup, buddy. Corbin.
One.
Two.
11. Oh, Miss Ada, can you put these in? Good job. One.
Two.
Bo. Come on, buddy. One. Two.
Seven.
Kylie. Well, it's going to start getting big here, kids. One, two, three, 13. Mallory. Five. Six, seven,
eight.
Adeline. One, two,
11.
Oh, was it? Okay. 11, 12. Riley.
Oh, no.
I need extra hands here. It's getting heavy. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Audrey. Must be all of our teachers, so there we go. Did we get everybody? All right. So after we do that, we usually do it for every kid, but today we thought we'd save you the time. So we have a special birthday song that we sing, and I'll leave this out afterwards. We're going to check out this birthday cake. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's definitely vintage.
She's trying to tell you it's
together. Each year at the beginning of our classes, we like to impress upon our kids that all of us are children of God. So our kiddos are going to do a little saying that we do every time they see a mirror, just a reminder that we're all children of God. Get ready.
Look in the mirror, and what do I see? A child of God looking back at me.
Good job. And then we have a verse that we taught to the children, just so that they can learn throughout the year.
On their own this year. They've done really well. All right, ready for thank you. Kevin, can we have thank you?
Not a coconut. Fruit of the spirit is not a coconut. If you want to be a coconut, you might as well hear it. You can't be the fruit of the spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the spirit is not a banana. The fruit of the spirit is not a banana. You want to be a banana, you might as well hear it. You can't be the fruit of the spirit, because the fruit is
We just want to say a huge thank you to all your parents for sharing your kids with us throughout the school year. We've had lots of fun with them on Sunday mornings, on family game nights, our crazy lock-in. We just love watching these kids grow, and they definitely help us as teaching staff to grow, too. I just want to give them a huge round of applause again. So. And then the kids and I want to thank you to our teaching staff. We have Miss Stephanie. We have Nana Huber. We have Miss Abby. Miss Porchelle. Miss Nora. Miss Angela. Kids are pretty amazing, and like I said, our teaching staff is pretty amazing too. We have lots of fun. So if you want to join in on the fun, this summer we are doing our Vacation Bible School. We are doing it as a community program again. We're combining with community churches, and it's going to be on Wednesday nights in the park from 6 to 8. If you would like to have some fun with these cool kids and us, we would love to have you volunteer. We'd love to have you every Wednesday night, but if you can volunteer for one, we will take you. It's lots of fun. We have lots of kids come because it's up at the park. It's super easy. No stress on you. You just let us know you'll help, and we'll give you a job. So if you are willing and interested, please see me or one of the other teachers, and because we're ordering shirts this week. So let me know if you would like to help or if you're willing to be helping anyway. Any questions? See any of us and ask these kids how much fun we have. Thank you all.
All right, our Old Testament reading this morning is Genesis 12, verses 1 through 9. The call of Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. May God add his blessing upon the reading of his word.
Well, first of all, I just want to say how very proud I am of all of you young people growing up to be young adults. I just am proud, proud, proud. And those songs, some of them I haven't heard in many years, and how refreshing and how heartwarming it is to hear all of those songs about the disciples and what God is calling us to be and do. I remember in our Vacation Bible School, as well as your traditions here, as I was growing up, we recited the pledge to the American flag, the Christian flag, and we even had one for the Bible. And Just it's really, really good to remember all of those things, because even as an old person now, I remember those things that I learned when I was very young, as you did. And I know you're hiding those things in your heart as well, that you can recall them and share those in many days to come. So thank you, kids. Thank you, teachers, that dedicate so much time and give so much effort. It's so important that our kids grow to and be nurtured in the love of Jesus Christ, as we all were. I just know that it's something that they will carry on with them and share with their own families and their own children someday. And it never goes to waste, does it? God's word never goes to waste. It always, always flourishes. Thank you. Thank you, teachers. Thank you, kids. You are important to us. You are vital to the world that we live in. Thank you. Thank you. We have many prayer needs this morning. We've shared many of them already this morning. We've prayed, and we're going to continue to pray for each and every one of those things. This week, the business that we're praying for is Sunshiner's Gift and Garden Shop in our community. We want to remember. We want to remember them in our prayer time. I want you to know, and I shouldn't have to say this, but I want you to know that the altar is always open. If anyone ever wants to come up and just pray here at the altar, that's a wonderful and invited and welcoming thing for you to do. If you feel, you know, especially close to the Lord and want to come up here and kneel or stand, that's wonderful. If you want to do that from your pew, that's wonderful too. But just know that as we come into this time of pastoral prayer that is needed more than ever before, we just want to be in a mode of worship. Let the Spirit of God come into our hearts, surround us in the places that we sit and the places that we go. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you are in our midst this day. We yearn to be as merciful with others as you are with us. You are patient, you are loving, you are kind. You allow us, Lord, to vent in your presence. You comfort us. You embrace us. You give us good gifts in your love and in the fruits that the kids sang about a few minutes ago, the fruits of the Spirit. Lord, you enter into our lives on a daily basis. You speak to us in this time of worship. We thank you, Lord. We long to set aside past grudges and love others for who they are now. We're tired of sitting in judgment and failing to see others as your beloved children. Lord, we are all your beloved children. And we've come here in this place today to worship you, to honor you, to give back just a little of what you have so blessed us with in our lives. So much happens between Sundays that help us to know that we need you every day, Lord. Every single day, every single hour, every minute. Teach us and show us your ways, Lord. Even when we think we already know it all, Lord, your patience overwhelms us. Your loving care for each and every one of us, no matter how many times we stumble and fall, you're always there to support and love and pick us up. We ask that you today fill us with your grace, that we might have enough faith to walk in your ways and seek the healing that your world is so desperately in need of. As your church and as your people, Lord, we humbly bow before your throne of grace this morning, appealing on behalf of ourselves and behalf of our neighbors for your direction and your guidance, for your embrace. There's days we wake up and think that we're not even sure where we're going. But Lord, we open our eyes and we look into your face and we know, Lord, that you have a mission and a plan for each and every one of us. That you have something for all of us to do. And so, Lord, we come before your throne of grace here asking for mercy and healing in times of grief and sorrow. That you would comfort those that are going through that very emotion today. That you would help us to understand one another and to listen deeply to our neighbors' cries. Lord, humble us before your throne. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts. Help us to be filled with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word and whatever you have for us today. Lord, bless our children. Bless these young people that are growing up to know you and love you, that they might serve you with every day that they breathe a breath of air in this life. Thank you for your healing touch upon so many. Lord, thank you for hearing our unspoken needs that have not even been verbalized, Lord, out loud. You know our needs. You know what will best serve you in this world. So, Lord, thank you. Minister to us today. Speak your word. Not the words that we hear so loudly of the world, but your words, Lord, your holy words. Let them speak volumes in our lives. As we give thanks and praise to you, Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen and amen. Our New Testament reading today, if you would like to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to read to you 9 through 13, and then I'm going to skip to verse 18 through 26. Reading to you this morning from the New International Version. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and with sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." And then skipping down to verse 18, while he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment. When Jesus entered the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd, he said, "Go away, the girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all of that region. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, the word of God for the people of God. We laugh about this many times at our house, and maybe we shouldn't laugh about it. But sometimes we're listening to one another and not really hearing one another, right? Hollis tells stories of being on the job and his construction job, and, you know, you're busy and you're diligent in your task, and people are talking to you and saying things, and you're saying, "Yeah, yeah, yes, yes." And then later they'll say, "Remember when I told you?" And you didn't tell me that. Do you ever have that happen at your house? You didn't tell me that. Sometimes we're listening, but not really listening, right? We're listening, we hear the talking, but we don't really hear the content of what's being said. This morning, our message is about hearing the call. Do you hear the call? Many times we hear God's voice, maybe not audibly, but we hear his voice in the things we see around us and the things that we do. He's calling us just as he called Matthew. Now we go back to the context of what was happening there, and we know tax collectors were not the most chosen folks to be hanging out with. We know they were crooks most of the time, and some went in the pot and some went in this pot, you know, the pocket pot. And when Jesus approached Matthew and said, "Follow me," he doesn't say he gave a big long sales pitch, does he? It doesn't say that he went on with a big spiel about all the reasons that this is going to be the exact thing he needs to do. It tells us in Scripture the only words he said were, "Follow me." Now, I don't know about you, but I probably would have had a list of questions. Well, where am I going? How long am I going to be gone? What is expected of me? Am I going to have time to go home and tell my family that I'm going to be gone for a while? What is it that you want me to do? What, after all, can a tax collector do other than collect money that's going to be of value? There would have been a lot of questions. I would have had a lot of questions, but it doesn't say Matthew had any. It just says he, in Scripture here, it says Matthew got up and followed him. Follow me. No questions asked. Has Jesus ever said that to you? I have something for you today. Follow me. I know that wasn't on your calendar. I know you didn't have an alarm set for that on your phone. I know that you maybe had 30 other things that you had in priority order. But follow me. I have somebody that only you and your personality and your mannerism and your tone of voice can speak to in the way that I need to have them approached. They need your help. I need your help. Follow me. And again, would we have 1,000 questions? Well, or maybe we would be appealing, saying, I'm not equipped to do that. Why would you possibly ask me to do that? And Jesus says, follow me. When Jesus calls our name, and when he says, come, we know that that's the most important thing that we could ever do in our day. And we know that nothing else on our priority list is going to really matter. And it doesn't matter what the Pharisees are saying here in this story. They saw that Jesus was eating with these people that nobody else wanted to be around. That he had called a tax collector to be the one to do the task of the day. That he was eating with, and it doesn't say what they were doing when they were sinning. But they definitely separated out the tax collectors and sinners, in quotation marks in my Bible, came and ate with him and his disciples. And I have to think, just by Jesus' presence alone, it spoke volumes in all of their lives. We did a lay speaking class one time that I had the privilege of being part of, and it was about having a caring ministry. It was about appropriate things to say and appropriate things not to say when you're ministering to people. But one of the biggest things that came through to me in that whole experience was the fact that sometimes we don't have to say anything, that it's the presence that is important. It's your presence in that person's surrounding, in their life. Your presence means volumes. Your availability means volumes. Even if you think you're not equipped, even if you think you don't have the words, even if you don't understand where he's leading you, when he says, follow me, it's okay. Your presence is being desired today. He doesn't expect us to have all of the answers to the world. You know, we tease about that, don't we? We're solving the world's problems. He doesn't expect us to have all those answers. We certainly don't. We can hash it out till the cows come home, but we're not going to have all those answers. But what we can do for one another is be that presence like Christ is in our lives. He presents himself to us, and his presence alone speaks volumes. When you go to visit people, when you go on his behalf, in his name, his presence is felt by the person that you are there for. You represent him to the world. You represent him in this world. His presence is felt because of your caring presence in others' lives. While he was saying this, the ruler came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died. Come and put your hand on her, and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. They must have been in awe. Just when the woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him, In other versions of this in the Gospels, it says that Jesus felt the power. Probably before he saw her, he felt that drain from himself. into her, that healing power. His presence alone healed her. And then he turned and he saw her and he said, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." Jesus' presence alone. Are you hearing his call? Are you hearing? Are you hearing or are you really hearing? Are you listening to your neighbor really? Or are you just hearing like the Charlie Brown thing where that teacher talks? I never understood that for the life of me. When she's going blah, 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 and I don't know anything she's saying, and I never understood that. But are we hearing that in our ear? You know, just that mumble, mumble, mumble. We don't really. Or are we really listening to our neighbor's needs? Are we really listening to what we need to be as the church? Is it different than what you pictured it to be? Is he calling us to be something new and different? Are you hearing his call? Are you feeling his presence? When Jesus entered into what I'm going to call, these are my words, not scriptural words, the chaos, the noise. We're in noise a lot of the time, aren't we? And during the week, we're in a lot of noise. When he entered the ruler's house and he heard the music and he heard the noisy crowd, he said, "Go away. The girl's not dead. She's sleeping." And then they laughed at him. There's nothing worse than being disregarded, is there? Being disregarded. This man of authority, this Christ, this man that we worship, this man that we honor. And they laughed at him. But after the crowd had been put outside, he went in, he took the girl by the hand, and she got up. Again, I believe the faith of those parents has made her well. Because we have faith that Jesus Christ is walking with us every day, he makes us well. Because his presence is here, even though we don't see him standing here in the flesh, he touches us and makes us well. His presence alone makes us well. And I've even heard preachers preach that even God's word sitting on your nightstand has the power to make us well. I've heard eyewitness testimonies of scripture that's found in Gideon Bibles, in hotel room drawers. You know what I'm talking about, the nightstand drawers. Has kept people from committing suicide. Has helped people turn their lives around and start out in a new footstep. Even if they haven't read it from cover to cover, even if they maybe know only one verse, maybe it's the verse the kids shared this morning, "For God so loved the world." Jesus, we just want to thank you. We just want to thank you, Jesus. We just want to thank you for being so good. Thank you for caring enough about me to open my ears to hear your call. The real words you're saying to me, not just the mumble jumble of a noisy room, but the real words you're saying to me. The real words my neighbor's saying to me when they're crying out for help. What's the pain under the pain, right? Some people lash out, and we know what a lot of times whatever they're lashing out about isn't where the real pain is rooted. We know it can be much deeper than that. It can be much more than that. Maybe some of you have felt that at some time or another over the years. Sometimes we don't even know what to ask for or to pray for. I've probably shared this before, but you can't hear it enough. If you don't know what to pray, just pray the name of Jesus. Just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He knows. He knows. His presence is with you. His presence is felt. And today I challenge you to hear his call. Hear it with every fiber of your being. Without all the questions that we long to ask, just stand up and go with him. When he says, follow me, you can never go wrong. Hear his words today. Do you hear the call? Choir, we invite you to sing. We want to prepare our hearts for Holy Communion this morning. You'll see some hymns as well. You'll see them on your screen. I encourage you to sing while we are filing up. We'll have our station just as we have the last couple of months here at the front, and then we will come back and serve anyone that doesn't feel that they are able to come up to the front today. That's fine. You will be served where you are, so we'll do that after everyone else has filed through. So prepare your hearts today. Beautiful church bells. The body of Christ was broken for all of us. He suffered, he bled, he died for us. This is his body that is broken. In the blood of Christ, this blood that was shed, Jesus said, I'm making all things new. I'm making a new covenant with you. Praise God, our sins are forgiven. Praise God, he's done this for us. Alice, will you come up? Can you please take my stool down there? And then you can... And if you can come here. Please take it. You are invited to Christ's table. You do not have to be a member of this church. You don't have to be a member of any church. Jesus died for all of us. He died that you might have new life and life abundantly. And when you receive Christ and you understand that how much he loves you and how much he gave for you, that's a requirement for Holy Communion, that you receive him into yourself and accept that forgiveness. Again, you are invited to use the altar if you'd like to spend some time there in prayer, and we invite you to come to Christ's table this morning.
Thank you.
miss anyone? Please raise your hand if we missed anyone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this precious gift. Thank you for the gift of this body of Christ. We love you. I pray that we honor you and serve you with all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. If I can invite our ushers to come forward for our offering of our gifts and tithes this morning. God of Abraham and Sarah, you bless our lives that we might be a blessing to others. May the offering we bring before you this day be a sign of our commitment to bless the world in your name. We send forth these gifts that they may be instruments of your circle of grace and faith. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn this morning is, "Here I Am, Lord." Let us answer that call.
Thank you.
to the places God sends you. Bless the people Christ calls you to bless. Strengthen the faith of the hopeless and despairing. And go with God's blessings. Let us share. Blessed be the tie, and you are all invited to our lunch downstairs. Please come and enjoy and join in. Amen. Amen. God bless your week. God bless your day.